Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Very interesting indeed, as those who really search out the truth realize that in 1139 AD, Malachi gave a prophecy that there would be 112 popes from his time to the end of the world. The current pope that just resigned, Pope Benedict XVI, was number 111. And we have a great historical thing taking place because he is the first pope to resign in 600 years. Now that's quite a thing to understand. There has been a great deal of pressure on the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican Bank, the pedophilia scandal, the money laundering scandal with the bank. There has been Vatican leaks. There has been even courts that have really no jurisdiction sending out arrest warrants for the Pope. So things are in great turmoil in Rome. And who will be the 112th Pope? And will he really be the last one? And what would they do if this 112th Pope was not the last one? Oh, they say that the last one, as Malachi said, will take the name Peter Romanos, or Petros Romanos, Peter the Roman. And the Catholics claim that the first pope was the Apostle Peter. And every chart that they have on the ascendancy of Christianity goes to the Apostle Peter. But is that true? How much history do you know? How much history have you read? How much of the Bible have you read? And did you know that the Bible gives the clues to the answers of all of these questions? Not only the Old Testament and the New Testament, but especially the New Testament. But on the day that Benedict XVI announced his resignation, there was a lightning strike on the cupola of St. Peter's Basilica. And not only that, it struck twice. And the last time that it struck was when Pope Pius IX, on July 18, 1870, declared that the Pope was infallible, that every decision that he made was God-given. And when he sat in the chair that was designated ex cathedra, whatever he said came directly from God. Well, it only took 8 more years before Garibaldi unified Italy under a civilian government and took all the papal states away from Rome and forced it to retreat to the 108 acres, which is called the Vatican. And that is recognized as an independent state. And in fact, the Pope was in exile, unable to come out of the Vatican area until 1929, when the Vatican, the Pope, and Mussolini signed the Lateran Agreement. And not many people realized that later there was an agreement between the papacy and Adolf Hitler. The history of the Roman Catholic Church does not begin in New Testament times. It begins way back and then carried over through the flood. So we need to understand what we are looking at. And we need to understand the truth of it from the Bible perspective. First of all, let's come to Luke 10. Now, this is the account where Jesus sent out 70 of his disciples to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and so forth. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. And he said to them, I was watching when Satan fell from heaven like lightning. I wonder what that strike of lightning was on St. Peter's Basilica. Was it from God or Satan? Now, not many people realize it, that Satan, the devil, is called the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And not many people realize that what they see in modern Christendom today is not original Christianity. Many people today do not realize that the god of this world is also called the prince of the power of the air. And not many people realize that Satan, the devil, has his own religions. And those are the major religions of this world. And we'll see that in a little bit. Not many people realize that what they have been told and taught as truth is interwoven and overcoated with so many lies that whatever little truth is left in them is hardly recognizable. So Satan fell like lightning. When he fell, Revelation 12 tells us that a third of the stars, or the angels of God, followed him in his rebellion. And this all took place before the recreation of the earth, as we find in Genesis, the first chapter. Because we find in the book of Job that when God laid the foundation of the earth, the sons of God, the angels, rejoiced. There was no rebellion at that point. But Ezekiel 28 tells us that there was the archangel who then became lifted up in vanity and was cast down to the earth. That's when the third of the angels were cast back down to the earth. And at that time, a great flood covered the whole earth. That's why in Genesis, the first chapter, when it first talks about the earth, it says, and waters covered the face of the deep. And also in geological history, there are two floodings, not one. So after God renewed the face of the earth, created Adam and Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden, told them they could eat of every tree that is in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now here's what we find. Satan the devil appeared as the serpent. And so we have this. Satan brought his way because he wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God. And he wanted to be worshipped as God. And in fact, in the temptation of Jesus by Satan the devil in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, he asked Jesus to worship him as God. And of course, Jesus refused. So the history of Satan's religion goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And what happened to that civilization when they gave themselves over to Satan's religion? It became corrupt. It became filled with evil, false religions, everything under the sun that is so unimaginable that the only clue that we have as to how that society operated, that whole world civilization operated, is when Jesus said that in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it will be like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Quite an amazing thing, you see, because this battle between Satan the devil and the true God in Jesus Christ go all the way back before the creation of man. Now, after the flood, let's come here to Genesis, the 10th chapter. And I want to call your attention to a book you can download right on this site, Church at Home. It is called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Now, here's a problem we have today. Many people want everything in headline news, small little paragraphs, little tweeter sayings. But if you want the truth, you're going to have to dig for it. You're going to have to read. You're going to have to get away from that television set and get some books and read what has happened. Because the Bible gives us the clues, and if we look in history, we will find the substantiation of it. Now, Genesis 10 is the clue, and it has to do with a man named Nimrod. And as you will see, the subtitle of The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop is this: Proof That Papal Worship Is the Worship of Nimrod and Semiramis His Wife. So thoroughly and well documented that it is, even though rejected, of course, by the Roman Catholics, because it tells them who they really are and from where they have come from. And it all begins right here. Verse 6, Genesis 10. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mitzrayim, Phut and Canaan. And the sons of Cush. Then it lists all of them. Verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. And he began to be a mighty one in the earth, palming himself off as God manifested in the flesh. And this is where we get down through history from that time forward, that in all the major civilizations, the emperor was God manifested in the flesh. You find it in China, you find it in Africa, you find it in the Middle East, you find it in Egypt, you find it in Europe, you find it in the Western Hemisphere as well, because all religions came from his founding of Babylon. And he was a mighty hunter against the Lord, or in place of the Lord. Now let's fast forward a little bit to today. What is the Pope called today? The vicar, or the replacement of Christ. Now, that's exactly what Nimrod was. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter, in place of the Lord, or against the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, or Babylon. Now, you need the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, and it's so important that we have it, and you can download the whole book. And you need to read it, and you need to understand it. And there you will see that every single doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church comes from Babylon and the worship of Nimrod and Semiramis. All the pagan religions come from there. Now, we have another incident in the book of Numbers. We won't turn there. I'll just summarize it for you. Read the account of Balaam and he was a pagan priest on the river Euphrates at an area called Pethor, or Peter, the same that St. Peter's Basilica is called today. And if you want to know another very interesting sidelight, ask yourself this question. Why, in St. Peter's Basilica, do they have all of the statues and all of the idols depicting all of the pagan gods collected there? Now, we're going to read some astounding statements, what the Catholics say, to justify the worship of images. But we'll see that later. But just one little clue. The Lord God, who became Jesus Christ of the New Testament, said, "You shall not make any images of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that's on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth, and you shall not bow down to them or worship them." So if you have available on your internet, do a pictorial tour of St. Peter's Basilica and ask yourself the question, why do they have all these idols and images? Why do they always have candles lit? And flame pictures the sun. And Nimrod said he was the representative of the sun. Now that's a very sweeping review of it. But you will find in this book that even the mitre that the Pope wears goes right back to all those ancient civilizations. You will find other prophecies of it in the Bible. But let's come forward to the book of Revelation, because the Bible talks about the beginning and the ending. And what we find, the end of history is going to be like the beginning of it. Let's first of all identify who the people of God are. Because all of Christendom of this world, now they may have a good degree of truth in some of these things, but in others it's overlaid with so many lies that it is incredible. And the Protestants who say they gave up on the Catholics because they were not in accord with the Bible are now themselves in accord with the Roman Catholic Church. Quite an amazing thing. But you see, we live in a world that is so busy, so fast. You don't have time to study. You don't have time to learn. You don't have time with all of these things. Well, let me tell you something very important. You better make the time, and you better take the time, and you better prove these things, whether they are true or not. Do you believe a lie or not? Go back to the very first thing that we have done on Church at Home, how the Christian world has been deceived. And it will be utterly astounding. So let's see in the end time how God himself, Jesus Christ, who gave this vision of the book of Revelation, describes his people. Now let's read it here. Verse 17. Then the dragon was furious with the woman, who is the church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now that means those who are really the true Christians, original Christians, still exist today. And they keep the commandments, namely the Sabbath and holy days of God, but all the commandments of God, you see. And the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, called Saturday. Now, in Europe, they're so deceived that they have calendars showing Saturday as the sixth day of the week. Surprise that would exist in Europe, the center of the modern Babylonian religions today? Amazing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. So here's how God identifies them. See? And John also wrote that if anyone says they know God and keeps not his commandments, he's a liar. And John also said that hereby we know him and know that we know him if we keep his commandments. All right? Come here to chapter 14 and verse 12. At the end time, here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You see, you need to understand this. Commandment keeping never justified you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can. But commandment keeping is demanded by God. In the spirit and not in the letter. And the faith of Jesus, that means that we believe the words and testimony of Jesus. We follow what he has said. We believe his words. All right? Now, let's juxtaposition that with Revelation 17. Now, as we saw in Revelation 12, the true church of God is pictured as a woman. And she is going to be the bride of Christ when Christ returns. Now, what do you suppose God would call the false church? Revelation 17 and verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here. I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters." And what are the many waters? See, here's a good example how you need to let the Bible interpret the Bible. Verse 15 says, "The waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." What do you know about that? A worldwide dominant religion, but not just the woman alone. She has daughters. And so what we're seeing here is a depiction of all the religions of the world. And as we have covered, they want to unite and get together. So just a little question, sidebar, as we go along. What will this new pope do toward that? We'll have to wait and see. We have some indications already. But what I want you to do before we get into this a little more, I want you to understand that the New Testament identifies this system clearly, and it goes back to Babylon. Now, verse 2, "with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." Now, why do you suppose that nearly every nation in the world, even including Iran, have ambassadors to the Vatican? Have you ever thought about that? "And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Wrong teachings. Satanic teaching. When you're drunk, can you think? When you're drunk, can you understand? When you're drunk, can you really discern the truth from the error? Of course not. Verse 3, "Then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet beast that had seven heads and ten horns, full of the name of blasphemies. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones. And she had a golden cup in her hand filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication." When you watch all the pageantry going on in the selection of the Pope with the Roman Catholic Church, look at the purple and scarlet and gold and pearls and precious stones. Now notice, the New Testament names this system, which is the mother of all the religions of the world, because it goes back to the time of Nimrod and the beginning of Babylon at the Tower of Babel. And when God scattered the people and confused their languages, the names of their gods were changed, but the gods remained the same. Nimrod, Semiramis, and the illegitimate son Tammuz. Now, let me read for you what it says here. And across her forehead, a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. Yes, indeed, quite a thing. Let me read the next verse, because this also identifies it. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And after seeing her, I wondered with great amazement. Yes, the Apostle John could not really grasp how this would be at the end time. So this is quite a thing. So what is taking place in Rome is really very significant. And also, we're going to see a little later, there are things developing in Jerusalem that are going to be the foundational stones of the coming one world religion ruled over by the Pope. So these are big time things going on. I hope you realize that. Now, please download this book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. It is so in-depth in details, you've got to know it. You've got to read it. You need to understand what has happened. And if you are a Catholic, much more so than ever before. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and download our articles and this book right from Church at Home and visit our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of sermons, audios, videos, transcripts, lessons. You have so many things available to you that we have compiled through the years. Please use them. Understand the truth of God. Change your life. Come to Christ. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.